Continuing with our look at the inscriptions on the door of Jahannam, on the doors of Jahannam, let's today look at the third door of Jahannam onwards, and three very short, sharp inscriptions. لَعْنَ اللَّهُ وَلَى الْقَاذِبِينَ لَعْنَ اللَّهُ وَلَى الْبَاخِلِينَ and لَعْنَ اللَّهُ وَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Curse of Allah on the liars, curse of Allah on the misers, and curse of Allah on the unjust. In other words, Allah will withhold His rahmah. La'na means withholding of His rahmah, withholding of His mercy on those who lie, on those who are miserly, and those who are unjust. Let's look at this concept of lying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the worst and most indecent statement is a lie. He continues to say, it's possible that a mu'min, a believer, may be a coward or even a miser, but never possible that they could be a liar. Imam Hassan Asqari alayhi salam says, when all evils and sins invade a house, the root cause is lying. Even associating with a liar discouraged. Imam Ali says, it's not appropriate that a Muslim should associate with a liar. You know, it's said that everything is something, but the friendship of a liar is nothing. Because Imam Zain al-Abidin says that a liar is like a mirage who shows far off things near and things which are near to be far. There was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abu Dharr, and the Prophet used to say that the sun had not shone on a person more truthful than Abu Dharr. And when he was asked whether human beings were answerable for what they spoke, he quoted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had told him, Abu Dharr, is there anything but what they utter from their tongues which will lead them to Jahannam? O Abu Dharr, the person who speaks a lie is destined for destruction in Jahannam. If you speak, let it be the truth. Don't utter anything that is false. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam has said, avoid telling lies, whether it's trivial or important matters, whether it's a matter of fact or out of fun, because once you start telling lies in trivial matters or even in jest, you will develop a boldness to tell lies in important matters as well. If we think about why we lie, it's because we fear of others, or it is out of desire of gaining some worldly honor or wealth. In essence, lying is the weapon of the weak, because if you have moral courage, there's no way you would lie. The philosopher Aristotle says that those who tell lies are punished in the way that even when they tell the truth, then nobody believes them. A wonderful hadith by Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam says, he says, to withhold the truth is indecent and undesirable except in two cases. To repel the mischief of the oppressors, or to bring about reconciliation between two people. That's the only place where you withhold the truth. Now the second inscription I said was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds His mercy on those who are misers, or bukhl. Bukhl is described as being stingy when we should be generous. In essence, it's caused by the love of the more, or in essence, the love of the world. In essence, one who is a miser is one who is essentially selfish. We are told that those who have the illness of bukhl in them, who are miserly, will even hold on to their smiles, their salams, and even their akhlaq, their manners. It really destroys the roots of affections for others in an individual, because the human being's mind becomes centered around wealth and materialism. It's really sort of the fear of imaginative poverty which deprives them of comfort and ease. And a miser is constantly worried, constantly depressed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the least friendly amongst people are those who are miserly. Look what Quran says, and this surah actually brings it to perspective. It gives the psychological portrait of a miser. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every slanderer and defamer, to everyone who backbites and who slanders someone. He says, now look at them. He says, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ. They are those who amass wealth and then who consider that as a provision against any problems. So it is people who are miserly who then resort to backbiting or resort to slandering, because they cannot stand anyone who is above them in material wealth, and they get jealous, so they talk about them. They can't stand anyone who is below them, because they belittle them and look down upon them, and so they backbite or slander them. And Allah says, يَحَسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. The miser thinks that his wealth will make him immortal. The surah says, قَلَّا لَيُنْبَضَنَّ فِي الْخَتَمَةِ. Nay, he will be thrown into a crushing disaster. وَمَا أَزْرَقَ مَا الْخَتَمَةِ. What will make you realize what the crushing disaster is? نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةِ. It is the fire kindled by Allah. الَّتِي تَتَّلِي وَلَى الْأَفِذَةِ. Which rises above the hearts. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ فِي أَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَ. It will be closed upon them in extended columns. In other words, it's a stifling existence. And thus, the depression and the constant worry. Dr. Karl Menninger, who was a leading psychiatrist, was once asked what one should do if they felt depression or a nervous breakdown coming up. He said, if you feel that, I'd urge you to find someone with a problem, a serious one. Get involved with that individual, because helping them solve their problem will show you how much you have. So when we give time and energy to others, then we're no longer thinking eternally, and we don't let things sort of bite in at ourselves, and we don't get disturbed about ourselves, because the outlook is towards others. And giving with a generous heart will drive out that tough old miser within us. You know, even those of us who think maybe that we're poor need to give. Just letting go, it destroys the shaitan of bukhl. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam once said that amongst the enemies of Allah is a proud pauper. And they asked him, they say, Ibn Rasulullah, who is a proud pauper? And he said, a proud pauper is a rich person who doesn't take a step towards the pleasure of Allah by spending his wealth in his path. And he said, the best amongst you are those who are generous and forgiving, and the worst amongst you are the ones who are miserly and narrow-minded. And I'd like to end with the most wonderful hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he said, I am amazed at the miserable misers, for they cause the poverty from which they run to come faster. They miss the wealth that they're looking for. In this life they live the life of the poor and will be judged in the hereafter, but they'll be judged with the judgment of the rich. And finally, the last inscription on this door says, La'an of Allah on the Zalimeen, the withholding of Rahmah on those who are unjust. Now, injustice is really, if we can actually look at it in three categories. There is injustice that will not be forgiven. There is injustice that will not be overlooked. And then there is injustice that will be forgiven and overlooked. The injustice that will never be forgiven is ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look at the Quran, there is a very, very strong statement. Look at Surah An-Nisa, this is Surah number 4. And if we look at Ayah 48, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرِقَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive that anything should be associated with Him. So that is the injustice of shirk. Our shahada begins with la, no, rejection of all others. Only when we reject other gods can we proceed to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've got to understand that the opposite of shirk is tawheed. Shirk again is caused by the love of the material world, and we become forgetful with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've got to continuously look at our nafs. Remember when the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were told by the Prophet, when he said, you know what I fear in you? I fear shirk. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, no. We believe, we pray, we fast, we give zakah, all the rest of it. And he said, because it can creep up on you like a black ant on a black rock on a black night. So, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, devotion to Allah doesn't lie in lengthy fasting and salah, but in the amount of contemplation in the works of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the injustice that will not be overlooked is the one which is committed by one person towards another. We just cannot do that. And the first thing we need to look at is our responsibility towards others. You know, let's just look at the rights or responsibilities that we have over other fellow Muslims. Imam Zain al-Abidin in his Risalat al-Huquq says, it is the right of your fellow Muslim in general to have peaceful feelings towards them, to spread the wings of mercy for them, to be gentle towards the wrongdoers among them, and to reform them by earning their love, to be grateful to those who are virtuous in character or who are generous towards you, because their virtuosity of character itself is a generosity towards you, as they have saved you from harm and spared you the effort of protecting yourself from them and kept their troubles away from you. Pray for all of them. Keep your help ready for all of them, and treat all Muslims according to their position. Keep the elders in position of your father, the younger in the place of your child, and the contemporaries in the position of your siblings. It's so beautiful, worth pondering over, because that is injustice that will not be overlooked, that we will have to account for and either gain forgiveness or give in compensation. The injustice that is forgiven is where a human being commits against himself or herself an act of sinfulness which we may call a minor sin. Now, what is a minor sin? Remember, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that anything that we consider minor is major. In other words, if I thought, well, it's all right to lie a bit, it's all right to hurt a bit, anything I consider minor is the greatest of sins. But in essence, it is one which is committed out of ignorance or in error and then not repeated. In other words, something that we've realized, we've contemplated upon, corrected to the best of our ability, and made a promise that we will try our level best never to go back to it again. But if we're looking at gunahane kabira and saghira, as many times we read in ahadith, the major sins and the minor sins, well, Imam Ali alayhi salam lists seven major sins. The first one is to deny the existence of Allah. The second one is to murder someone without any basis at all. The third one is to be disinherited by parents. The fourth one is to take interest into something after knowing it is haram. The fifth one is to usurp the wealth of an orphan with force. The sixth one is to run away from jihad. And finally, the seventh one is to return to ignorance after iman. Inshallah, in further programs, we will look at each of these in detail and see the gravity of these sins, and thus they are known as gunahane kabira, or the major sins. Inshallah, we will continue with the inscriptions on the door of Jahannam tomorrow.